From Hollywood, California, White Fires of Inspiration. From the myriad pages of literature, from out the countless writings of the English language, a rollicking, absurd, delightful tale emerges and lives. A tale as unique and fanciful as any ever written. The story of Alice in Wonderland. It was created by a professor of mathematics at Oxford University, a man who is the author of several learned treatises on geometry, trigonometry, and mathematical determinants. All of which works are forgotten today, along with his true name, Charles Lutwidge Dodgson. For the world remembers only Lewis Carroll, the creator of Alice in Wonderland. And so tonight, White Fires of Inspiration, written by John Slott, presents the story of Alice in Wonderland, immortal miss and lovely child of fantasy. Wilbur Hatch and the Columbia Orchestra offer the musical settings. It is the year 1864. Across an ancient flagstone quadrangle of Oxford University, two little girls cast excited glances, first at the great campus clock, and then over to the lecture hall where Charles Dodgson, young and brilliant mathematical professor, is holding forth absent-mindedly on an algebraic...
The square on the hypotenuse of a right triangle is equal to the sum of the squares on the other two sides. If this theorem be stated algebraically, we have, as in figure 2, c square equals a square plus b square. I suggest that any of you students having trouble with this theorem consult Millen's text for the proofs. That concludes today's lesson.
Oh, I say, Charles, how about a spot of tea in my room?
Thanks a lot, Lurie, but I have a previous engagement and I'm already late.
Well, from the sound of you, it must be with a young lady.
Two of them, Lurie, and they won't tolerate cowardice. I say there. Well, aren't we on speaking terms?
Edith is angry.
Angry? At who?
At you, Mr. Dodgson.
Oh, I see. And you, Alice, are you angry too?
Well, if I have to tell you that we're angry, then I can't be angry if I speak to you, can I?
No. No, you can't. Because when you speak to a person at whom you are angry, then you are no longer angry.
She is too.
I am not.
Say, what is this all about? I stand accused. What of what?
Well, didn't you forget something?
Now, let me see. We plan to go to Godstow's Bridge and have a picnic.
But we have no picnic basket.
Good heavens, I did forget. Now, you wait here while I dash to my room and get the basket. We'll be rowing down the river in 10 minutes. Over there, near the old nunnery, is the burial place of Fair Rosamond, a beautiful lady who was supposed to have been poisoned by Queen Eleanor, the jealous wife of Henry II.
Why did Queen Eleanor poison the Fair Rosamond?
Well, it's a rather complicated story. Now, that bridge yonder, it has been there ever since the time of the Romans. And here is how Oxford got its present name. Before the bridge was built, there was a ford for oxen to pass over. And so, long before the Christian era, it was called Oxenford. And here we are. Now, I'll take the picnic basket. Alice, you the blanket. And you, Edith? Well, now let me see. Will you oversee the landing of the troops? Ready? Prima, secunda, tertia. Forward. What is this? Mutiny? I say forward and none of you move.
But you said prima, secunda, and tertia. And they aren't here.
Edith is prima.
That's the first contingent. And you, Alice, are Secunda. That is the second. And I am Tertia.
Which is the third?
Correct. And now, let us be off to that shady tree. So, an apple for each of you. And we've cleaned the picnic basket. Here you are, Edith. And here's yours. One for Alice. Catch it. Hurry, it's rolling down the river.
It went down the hole.
It will take a longer hand than yours to reach it. I'm afraid we've lost it. You see, it's a rabbit's hole. And it goes down deep.
What does the rabbit do down there?
That's where he lives.
Does he stay down there all the time?
Of course not. He has to get air.
How do you know?
Because.
Look, there he is now, the white rabbit. Catch him, Alice. Catch him.
I'll get it.
You can't now. He's gone down his hole.
Oh, he was such a pretty rabbit.
Why do you want to go down that old, dirty hole?
Oh, but it isn't an old, dirty hole. It's rather a wonderful place down there. Besides the rabbit, there are mock turtles, lorries, and griffins.
Well, then why can't we go down there and visit with them?
Well, you see, there's quite a story about this wonderland.
Story?
Oh, please tell it to us.
Is it about the white rabbit
and the mock turtles and the lorries and the griffins?
Yes, and about a little girl who followed the white rabbit right to the edge of his hole. Then she slipped, and suddenly she found herself dropping down, 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 down. And while she was falling, she was clutching at things on the way, saying...
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Oh! Well, after such a fall as this, I shall think nothing of tumbling downstairs. Well, I wonder how many miles I've fallen by this time. I must be getting somewhere near the center of the earth. What's that? Oh, and a tree.
The Duchess. Oh, won't she be savage if I've kept her waiting?
Oh, if you please, sir.
Oh, my word.
Mr. Rabbit.
My word. My word.
Oh. Dear, how queer everything is today. I wonder if I've been changed in the night. I almost think I can remember feeling a little different. But if I'm not the same, the next question is, who in the world am I? Oh, I'm sure I can't be Mabel, for I know all sorts of things, and she knows such a very little. Besides, she's she, and I'm I. Oh, dear, how puzzling it all is. Let me see. I'll try and say, how doth the little? How doth the little crocodile improve his shining tail and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale? How cheerfully he seems to grin, how neatly spread his claws, and welcome little fishes in with gentle, smiling jaws. I'm sure those are not the right words. They simply can't be. Then again, I'm not quite sure. Oh, I must be Mabel after all, and I shall have to go and live in that poky little house and have no toys to play with. Oh, hello, Mr. Miles. Marchette?
What?
Oh, I beg your pardon. That was the first sentence in my French lesson book. I quite forgot you didn't like cats. We shan't talk about them any longer.
As if I would talk on such a subject. Our family always hated cats. Nasty, low, vulgar things. Don't let me hear the name again.
Mousy, dear, do come back and we won't talk about cats anymore.
Oh, well, very well.
Oh, look. Look at all those funny birds near the pool.
Funny? What's so funny about a dodo, a lorry, an eaglet, and a duck?
What are they up doing up on the shore?
They're trying to get dry.
But they're not doing anything about it.
They lack leadership. Come along, I'll show them. You just watch me. I know how to do it. Now, sit down, all of you. I'll soon make you dry enough. This is the driest thing I know. William the Conqueror, whose cause was favored by the Pope, was soon submitted to by the English, who wanted leaders, and had been of late much accustomed to usurpation and conquest. Edwin and Morcar, the Earls of Mercia, no more. I beg your pardon, did you speak, Master Lorry?
Oh, not I.
I thought you did. I proceed. Edwin and Morcar found it.
Found what?
Found it. Of course, you know what it means, Mr. Duck.
I know what it means. When I find a thing, it's generally a frog or worm. The question is, what did the Archbishop find? What?
Found it advisable to go.
And how are you getting along, Alice?
William, and offer him a crown.
Where does ever?
William's conduct
doesn't seem to dry me at all.
In that case, I move the meeting adjourned for the immediate adoption of more energetic remedies. What?
Speak English. I don't know the meaning of half those long words, and what's more, I don't believe you do either.
Oh, dear, it's all such nonsense.
But, Mr. Mouse, you promised to tell me your history, you know. You know, why you hate C-A-T-S.
Oh, yes. Mine is a long and sad tale.
It certainly is a long tale. Why do you call it sad?
What are you talking about?
Your tale?
You're not attending, young lady. What can you be thinking of?
A little jingle. Joey said to a mouse that he met in the house, "Let us both go to law. I will prosecute you. Come, I'll take no denial. We must have the trial, for really this morning I've nothing to do." Said the mouse to the cur, "Such a trial, dear sir, with no jury or judge, will be wasting our breath. I'll be judge, I'll be jury," said the cunning old fury. "I'll try the whole case and condemn you to death."
Nonsense, utter nonsense. You insult me by talking such nonsense.
Well, I didn't mean it, but, well, you're so easily offended, you know.
Oh, very well. Good day, good day.
Oh, please. Please come back and tell your story.
What a pity it wouldn't stay.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, I do wish I had our Dinah here. She'd soon fetch him back.
And who is this Dinah, if I may venture to ask the question?
She's our cat, and such a capital one for catching mice. I do wish you could see her after the birds. Why, she'll eat a little bird just as soon as she looks
eat
at it.
Eat it. Let me get away from her.
What'll I do? Branch of what?
Oh, dear, I wish I hadn't mentioned Dinah. Oh, dear Dinah, I wonder if I'll ever see you anymore.
The Duchess. The Duchess. Oh, my dear paws and my furs and my whiskers. She'll get me executed as sure as ferrets are ferrets.
Oh, dear. Mr. Rabbit. Please, where are you going? Don't leave me here alone. Mr. Rabbit.
Wake up. Edith. Alice.
I say, look at Alice. She's crying.
Alice, wake up. What's the matter?
The white rabbit is so unfriendly.
We'll have to give him a good talking to the next time.
But you didn't finish the story.
Well, I couldn't very well. In the middle of it, you went off to pick daisies, and Alice went fast asleep.
Oh, then I must have dreamed about the mouse and the lorry and the duck and the rabbit.
Well, not exactly. But more of that some other picnic day. Now, come along. It's time we're going home.
Yes? Who is it? Alice, what are you doing here at this time of night?
Oh, Mr. Dodson. Mabel Huxley said there was no such thing as a talking caterpillar. Now there is too, wasn't there?
Oh. Well, you tell Mabel that there is in make-believe land.
But can I bring Mabel here? So you can tell her?
I have a better idea. I'll write it in this little book. And then you can read it to Mabel.
Oh, right away?
Well, I...
Oh, please, please, Mr. Jackson. Then I can show it to Mabel, and then I can...
All right, all right. Come up here. There, in the big armchair. There. Now, where shall we start?
Well, where Alice ran after the white rabbit, and then he ran so fast and disappeared, and then Alice was lost,
that
and
isn't the beginning, Alice.
Oh, I know, but I'm just curiouser and curiouser about the white rabbit.
The comparative form of the word is more curious, Alice.
Oh, I'm so excited about the white rabbit, I forgot to speak good English.
All right. Now, Alice was thinking about escaping from Wonderland.
Yes, but why should she want to leave such a nice place?
Well, people are that way. And perhaps it's much better. If you saw too much of Wonderland, in time it would become, well, it would become rather a dull place. And so Alice ran on and on until she came to the edge of a mushroom, where she sat down to rest. And when she opened her eyes again, she found herself looking into the large eyes of the caterpillar, who was sitting on the top of the mushroom, quietly smoking a long hookah and taking the smallest notice of her. Suddenly, he said, "Who are you?" And Alice answered rather shyly, "I hardly know, sir." And the caterpillar said sternly, "What do you mean by that?" And Alice replied, "I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir, because I'm not myself, you see." "I don't see," said the caterpillar. And Alice answered, "I'm afraid I can't put it more clearly." "Why?" said the caterpillar. Well, about this time, Alice thought the caterpillar a rather unpleasant fellow and turned to go. "Come back," the caterpillar called after her. "I've something important to say." Now, this sounded promising, so Alice turned back.
And what did the caterpillar say?
"Keep your temper," he said. Why do you laugh, Alice?
Oh, that wasn't important.
Oh, yes, it is. Very important. And if the story of Wonderland teaches you nothing else, the words of the caterpillar should. Always remember, keep your temper.
Oh, I shall, Mr. Dodson. Keep your temper.
Good. And so on with our story. Then Alice said, "I'm afraid, sir, I can't remember things." And the caterpillar said,
"Can't remember what things?"
And Alice said, "Well, I've tried to say, how doth the little busy bee? But it all came out differently." And then the caterpillar said,
"Repeat, you are old, Father William."
Alice folded her hands and began, "You are old, Father William," the young man said, "and your hair has become very white. And yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right?"
"In my youth," Father William replied to his son, "I fear it might injure the brain. But now that I'm perfectly sure I have none, why, I do it again and again."
"You are old," said the youth, "as I mentioned before, and have grown most uncommonly fat. Yet you turned a back somersault in at the door. Pray, what is the reason for that?"
"In my youth," said the sage, as he shook his gray locks, "I kept all my limbs very supple by the use of this ointment, 1 shilling the box. Allow me to sell you a couple?"
"You are old," said the youth, "and your jaws are too weak for anything tougher than suet. Yet you finished the goose with the bones and the beak. Pray, how did you manage to do it?"
"In my youth," said his father, "I took to the law and argued each case with my wife. And the muscular strength which it gave to my jaw has lasted the rest of my life."
"You are old," said the youth. "One would hardly suppose that your eye was as steady as ever. Yet you balanced an eel on the end of your nose. What made you so awfully clever?"
"I have answered 3 questions, and that is enough," said his father. "Don't give yourself airs. Do you think I can listen all day to such stuff? Be off, or I'll kick you downstairs."
Did he kick him downstairs?
Well, no. Because it turned out that Alice had got the words altered.
Oh, poor Alice. She's having such a time.
Yes. And so is our own little Alice. It's long past your bedtime.
Oh, what are you going to call the book?
Well, I hadn't thought of that. We could call it Alice's Adventures Underground. Do you like that?
Oh, no. No, I don't like it.
Now, let me see. How about Alice's Hour in Elfinland?
Elfinland. But Alice didn't see any elves.
Then suppose you suggest a title.
I shall have to talk to Dinah. She's the wisest cat.
I have it. Why not Alice in Wonderland?
Yes. I like that. Because it was a wonderland, wasn't it?
Exactly. Now, we're taking you home.
Oh, you won't forget to finish the book.
No, no. We'll have it all ready for you on your next lesson. Come along.
Mr. McMillan, we'll see you now, Mr. Dodson.
Thank you.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Dodson.
Thank you.
Mr. Dodson, you no doubt wonder why I sent for you.
Yes.
Mr. George MacDonald showed me your manuscript of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, but I merely showed it to George with the idea of getting someone to draw the pictures for little Alice Lidwell.
Yes, I know all that. But after all, there are 100,000 Alices throughout the world. Would it be quite fair to confine that beautiful little tale to only one Alice?
I never thought of it that way before. Do you really think it will interest other children?
Well, I'm willing to take that chance. Are you?
Yes. But I'd rather not use my name.
Oh, why not?
Well, after all, I am a teacher of mathematics at Oxford. They just don't go together.
Oh, I see. What name would you prefer?
Well, let me see. Lutwidge is my middle name. In Latin, it is Ludovicus. Translated in English, it comes to Lewis. And Charles in Latin is Carolus.
Well, I don't quite like Carolus, so let us leave it at Carol. Lewis Carroll. How is that?
Lewis Carroll. Seems like a different person.
He is, from now on. He's the creator of Alice in Wonderland. Yes, Alice, what is it?
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
Well, what is awful, Alice?
Mabel has a poem in her Alice in Wonderland book. And I haven't any in mine.
But doesn't it make you happy that your book is the only one of its kind in the whole world? Besides, the poem was an afterthought.
I know, but... why can't I have the poem on the front page?
Very well. I'll print in your book. Now, all in the golden afternoon, full leisurely we glide, for both our oars, with little skill, by little arms are plied, while little hands make vain pretense our wanderings to guide. Anon to sudden silence won, in fancy they pursue the dream child moving through a land of wonders wild and new, in friendly chat with bird or beast, and half believe it true. Thus grew the tale of Wonderland. Thus slowly, one by one, its quaint events were hammered out. And now the tale is done. And home we steer, a merry crew, beneath the setting sun. Alice, a childish story take, and with a gentle hand lay it where childhood's dreams are twined in memory's mystic land, like pilgrim's withered wreath of flowers plucked in a far-off land. And now you have a book, just like Mabel's.
What is the matter, Mr. Dodson?
Matter, Alice? Why do you ask?
Well, you don't look so happy. Is Alice a problem?
Bless you, darling, no. Alice isn't a problem. Life sometimes is a problem. But you can't worry about that. You'll have so much time for it later.
But...
what?
What happens after Alice leaves Wonderland?
She'll find another Wonderland. And when she grows older, she'll discover a Wonderland in the rustling of grass and the wind, the rippling of water, and and the rattling teacups of the angry cook will change the tinkling sheep bells. And the queen's shrill cries and the shriek of the gryphon and all those queer little noises, she'll hear them again and again. Possibly in some busy farmyard.
Oh, but I shan't like that kind of wonderland.
Then it appears we'll have to discover another one for you.
Oh, how grand. What kind of people are going to be in this new wonderland?
What kind would you like?
Well, can't we have Dinah?
I guess so. But wouldn't it be more fun if we had people you never saw before?
Oh, you mean like, like the lorry?
Well, more like the Jabberwock.
Jabberwock?
Yes. You see, when Alice steps into Looking Glass Land, the first thing she sees is a book, and in this new land, she has to learn the new language. Everything is written backwards. So what does Alice do? She picks up the book, holds it to the looking glass, and this is what she reads. 'Twas brillig in the slithy toves, did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the burra groves, and the mumrath are grabe. Beware the jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the jubjub bird, and shun the frumious bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxim foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uppish thought he stood, the jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffing through the tadgy wood, and burbled as it came. One, two, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back.
Oh, Mr. Joshin, teach me to speak like the Jabberwock.
All right, you repeat after me. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy.
And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy.
Now this is a chore. Oh, frabjous day, kaloo, kalay.
Oh, I can't say that.
You will, my dear. And someday all your little friends all over the world will say, oh, frabjous day, kaloo, kalay. Still she haunts me, phantom-wise. Alice moving under skies, never seen by waking eyes. Children yet, the tale to hear, eager eye and willing ear, lovingly shall nestle near. In a wonderland they lie, dreaming as the days go by, dreaming as the summers die. Ever drifting down the stream, lingering in the golden gleam, life, what is it but a dream?
And inscribed below that lovely poem was Lewis Carroll's last dedication. To the little girl who has been my inspiration, Alice Pleasance Liddell, my Alice in Wonderland. And so concludes the absurd, rollicking, delightful story of that immortal little miss, Alice in Wonderland. Tonight's program was written by John Slott. Musical score and direction were by Wilbur Hatch. Doreen Tuttle was featured as Alice, Ted Osborne as Lewis Carroll, with Howard McNear as the rabbit, Joe Kearns as the mouse, and Barbara Jean Wong as Edith. We take extreme pleasure in announcing, next week at 10:15, the story of France's greatest woman novelist, Doreen Tuttle, portraying in 3 episodes the life and loves of that flaming genius of the pen, George Sand. These tales of the white fires of inspiration are under the direction of Ralph Scott and come to you from our Hollywood studios. Frank Graham speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.